following is a world-famous Phil Hendry Show encore presentation. The Zandi misfits that I was talking about, it was a large insect that was first, the Zandi misfit was a very large insect, human insect that had human features, and it was first articulated on a television program called Way Beyond the Limit. Yes, it was The Outer Limits.
Now, why did we have to hear Frank Sinatra there?
There's no reason. I just prefer it. It relaxes me. It relaxes me as I get into the topic of these insects, these humanoid insects that, with human faces, that attacked, I believe, in a very real sense, in the months of November, December of 1962, at the Goleta substation, a Mars project that NASA at the time was conducting.
Now you have I don't want to say proof, but you have some sort of record that says that NASA had a Mars mission here in Goleta, California.
Yeah, right up the coast here in Goleta near Santa Barbara. But all of this is aside. The point that I'm trying to make here is that I believe I have the DNA of this Zandi creature.
You say the DNA. You feel you're part insect.
No, I don't think I'm part insect. I think that I am part Zandi. The Zandi is insect-like, but it's not an insect. It's an intelligent being. And it communicated.
It had a language and everything, right?
Okay, yeah. But am I going to be talking to him?
Yes, this is a panel of people.
And Mr. Hendry is where?
Mr. Hendry is, this evening, taking the night off.
Okay. What was your question, young man?
You said that the Zandi had a language.
The Zandi did have a language. It was Unambade, Gumbandebe, Gumbandebe.
What does that mean?
I don't know, really. I don't know what it means. And I'm not even sure I got the language right. I'm phonetically recreating it.
So you, all right, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So the Zandi, let me get back to where I want to be with this because we're getting sidetracked here on language. The Zandi was an insect that attacked the substation and injured a number of personnel before they were finally neutralized using hand grenades, small arms fire, and I believe flamethrowers by the...
Were these air police or...
They were, yeah, United States Air Force, Air Police, and I think some of the airmen there. And it was an unfortunate incident because the Zandi were going to land here and offload the criminals.
This is the plot of this Twilight Zone.
No, it's not a Twilight Zone. I said that 16 times to your man. You're the producer I talked to, right?
Yes, sir. But I...
Yeah, I said, please don't ever call it Twilight Zone. It's beyond the limit.
It's called The Outer Limits.
The Outer Limits. And I saw that show and I said, my God, I lived that.
All right, you're claiming you were there.
Yes, I'm making that claim. And it's not just a claim, I was there.
Do you have any evidence?
Of what, of me being there?
Yes.
I have I'd have to pull my pants down to show it to you. But yes, I do.
Well, what is that, a scar of some kind?
It is. It's a scar where one of the Zandi attempted to...
Attempted to what?
Assault me.
You realize this is now beginning to sound like a joke.
No, I know that. And I've been thrown off of 5 different shows, and this was my last. And because my cousin is Dr. Ron Tarner, and Mr. Hendry said, well, all right, since you know Dr. Ron Tarner, we'd like to have you... We'll have you on the program to tell the story.
So you're saying one of the Zandi, one of these insect aliens, tried to sexually assault you?
Yes.
And you have the scarring. You'd have to take your pants off to show us.
Yes.
Well, why are we having this conversation?
we're having the conversation because I saw on television not too long ago a recreation of these very events that I'm speaking of on this program,
Outer Limits.
Outer Limits.
Why can't you remember the name of the show? I mean, it was a very well-known show, and it contains this episode that you were speaking of.
I don't know why I can't remember it. I just can't. It could be the trauma of the event or something. Anything.
Well, Dr. Ron Turner is going to join us here in a moment.
Okay. That's fine. My brother, Dr. Turner, Ron Turner, has done nothing in his life but empty his slop jars one after the other all over top of me. See? Okay.
All right. We understand you have a... Hold on for just a moment here, Mr. Beakley. We understand you have a contentious relationship with your brother to the point where you changed your last name from Turner to Beakley.
That is right, yes.
Why Beakley?
I saw the name Beakley one day on a bag of rice I was buying, and it said something along the lines of Beakley Rice, Beakley Rice Farms, Beakley, Texas.
And that's when you chose the name?
That's when I chose the name, yeah.
All right, we have with us here Chris Beakley, who claims that he was at a NASA facility or a United States Air Force facility in Goleta, California in 1962 when alien creatures attacked the facility, attempted to assault you.
Correct.
And were eventually neutralized by the U.S. Air Force personnel there using small arms fire, flamethrowers and explosives of some kind.
Yeah, hand grenades.
Hand grenades. The reason why you're bringing this up now is that you have just become aware of an episode of The Outer Limits, an old television program. Now, this episode, Bud, you looked it up.
Yeah, the episode of The Zanny Misfits aired in 1963, and you say that this happened in 62.
Yeah, and that was the thing that really perturbed me. It had just happened to me. I had been traumatized beyond all areas of being able to understand it. You can be traumatized, but to be traumatized by an insect with a human face as it's attempting to make its way into your pants.
In about 2 seconds, I'm going to throw you out of here.
Why?
Because I don't buy what you're saying. It's starting to sound silly.
Okay, then I'll get up and I'll leave. And you talk to my brother, Ron Turner.
Dr. Turner's going to be here in a couple of minutes.
All right, you talk to Dr. Turner. He'll tell you that this has been a constant in my family since I was, I'm 82 years old. I was a young man of 20.
You're all right.
And, okay, yeah, you follow me so far, huh?
We're following you here, Mr. Beakley. We're just, go ahead.
I was a young man of 20 when the facility here in Goleta was attacked.
And it was attacked by these insects?
Not insects, insect-like.
All right.
And one of them tried to remove your pants.
Did I say that?
Well, you said one of them was trying to get into your pants or something.
Hi.
Okay, here is Dr. Turner.
Okay. Hi, Ron.
Chris? Dr. Turner, we're having a discussion here with your brother about this incident in Goleta.
Okay. Yeah, okay. They think that I'm doing this for laughs.
No, he's very serious. And this has been something that's been in our family, I mean, 60 years.
Yeah, then so what?
Because I would say he's my older brother. I respect him and love him. But we're well aware, but I'm just saying, we're well aware of the fact that you're very serious about this.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing, Dr. Turner, as you might well guess, that we are having a hard time with. He says that one of these insect-like intelligent beings
attempted to sexually assault him.
Yes.
Okay. And that's what he claimed to us. And we said, how do you know? And he said, well, it was trying to find its way into my pants.
That's right. Why? And why do you find that? So wouldn't you call that a sexual assault?
If the being that was attacking you knew that's where your ass was.
I think I understand what Dr. Turner's saying. How do you know? I'm sure it was an assault. How do you know it was a sexual assault?
How do I know it was a sexual assault? Because it was trying to get into my pants.
All right, calm down. Well, this is
Ron, look at Chris. You got to calm down with these people. They're reasonable people.
I know what you're saying.
But you have to calm down. It just because it was trying to make its way into your pants doesn't mean it was a sexual assault.
Okay. Then what do you call it?
It's just it's some kind of an assault. Maybe it was afraid of you and it was trying to hide in your pants.
What about that? I would accept that, except the young man who just this... What's your name, Mr. Dillman?
Mr. Dickman.
Oh, Mr. Dickman.
Look, I'm going to start to clear this place out in a minute.
No, no, wait. I would accept that, except when he said it was trying to hide in my pants, he went, hee-hee.
Chris, do you understand that these people are being very patient?
Yes, I know they're being very patient. And I appreciate the forum that Mr. Henry has afforded me.
Okay. And you know that me and Mom and Dad and Chauncey, we all...
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Chauncey. Chauncey was never my friend. She was always off.
Chauncey's a girl, huh?
Yes. She's their middle sister.
Chauncey was always trying to find a guy with money. I don't know.
Hold on. We're talking here with Chris Beakley, the brother of Dr. Ron Tarner, who claims that he witnessed this attack on a facility, Air Force facility, by the Zanti Misfits. Now, this was an episode of the Outer Limits television program.
Yes.
And you saw this episode when?
I was made aware of the episode about 2 months ago, and then I saw it on YouTube.
You mean YouTube?
I was given to understand it's called YouTube. That was what the...
No, it's called YouTube. It's called YouTube.
It's called YouTube. All right, well, that's... You learn something new every day, I guess. And I said, my God, what has happened? What has been done? I saw what I had experienced.
And so let me say, Chris, and so my brother here claims, as he has all these years, that these insects attacked. And
when were you made aware that this was an outer... How long have you known, Dr. Turner, this was an Outer Limits episode?
Oh, I knew it was Outer Limits episode for years. And I tried to tell him that.
You said it was Twilight Time or something.
No, I thought it was Twilight Zone.
Okay. Well, no, you said Twilight Time or Twilight, which was a vampire movie.
No, there was a show called Twilight Zone, but the one we're talking about here is Outer Limits.
I knew it was an Outer Limits episode. By God, when I was in high school.
Well, and you didn't try to tell me.
I did try to tell you. And you said you looked and you didn't see it.
I looked at Twilight Time.
I didn't say it was Twilight Time. I said it was Twilight. I might have said it was Twilight Zone, misspeaking, because I was trying to correct you, but it was actually Outer Limits.
Well, I didn't know.
Well, it seems to me there's been a 60-year difference here, a mistake. You might have been made aware of this, that it was fiction.
It's not fiction, because I lived it. God damn it.
All right, hold on for a minute.
Watch the language, please.
All right, sorry.
All right, well, I have no way of... I'm not going to sit here and dispute it. My brother claims that he was there. You were at the Goleta... What did you call this?
For the 999th time, it was the Goleta NASA Mars Project in Goleta, California.
All right, Chris, that's fine, because there is no Goleta Mars Project on record anywhere that I can find.
Well, that doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
I suppose it could be some kind of a government project.
Yeah, it could be a top-secret government project. But what I think happened was, as a young 20-year-old, in the post-beatnik days...
Oh, he's going to start again with it.
No. In the post-beatnik days, you had experimented with peyote.
Okay. I am not going to sit here and be slandered.
No, you had experimented with peyote. You told me you'd done battle with some shaman witch in a cave in New Mexico.
Is that true?
I had said to my brother, yes, there had been an afternoon of some hallucinogenic drug. This was 1962. This was before anybody was really, except maybe Timothy Leary at Harvard. And I ate maybe a half a dozen peyote buttons. And I had been called to a cave outside of Las Cruces by a shaman witch. See, everyone's looking at me like I've lost my mind.
Well, but do you blame them?
Yeah. I'm telling you.
What we're hearing here now from you, if you don't mind, Mr. Beakley, is a...
And the way you say Mr. Beakley, it's like you're saying Mr. Wilson on the Dennis the Menace show. What are you laughing at?
What are you laughing at, bud?
Nothing.
What we're getting here, sir, Mr. Beakley, is that you might have, you say you were called to a cave outside of Las Cruces.
Yes, but this has nothing to do with being sexually assaulted by an intelligent insect, which he claims happened.
Which I do claim happened.
All right.
Well, who are we to dispute that?
Yeah, hey.
Finally, some people here understand what it was I lived through all those years ago, having an insect with a human face trying to get into my pants. Okay, you know, I'm all done.
Can you blame us for laughing?
No, I'm all done.
What did I tell you was going to happen?
I'm all done.
What did I tell you would happen?
You said I'd come in here and the people would give me a fair hearing.
Yes, but I did say they would start to laugh.
You can laugh if you want. Oh, yes, I did eat peyote. Yes, I did go into a cave in Las Cruces thinking I was going to meet a shaman witch.
Well, what did you meet there?
Who did you meet?
The guy that sold me the peyote buds. That's all I...
You met the guy that sold you the peyote and then you spent the night in that cave. You came out the next day, called our parents... Had them send you money.
Yes, and then I hitchhiked home.
Fuck.
And so another episode of The Phil Henry Show ends not with anything really relating to reality, but just one more person we've interviewed who has a sketchy history concerning drug use and their relationship with reality. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? All of you, can I...
Go ahead.
Yeah. All of you can hang it in your ass as far as...
That's a hell of a thing to say, Chris, for some people who gave you airtime.
And by the way, we played Frank Sinatra for you.
Yeah,
you played Frank Sinatra for me. So what?
We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back. You know, the backstage pass, I can't say it will protect you from the Zandy misfit. I can't say it will protect you from being assaulted by an intelligent insect-looking creature with a human face and ill intent. I can't say any of that, but I will tell you this. As a thank you to Mr. Henry and his staff, may I encourage you, to get a backstage pass? It is a subscription to Mr. Henry's website, which my understanding is it's at philhenryshow.com. Am I correct? And philhenryshow.com, a backstage pass is what they call the subscription to the website. And you'll get to listen to everything that's there. 60,000 hours of radio and digital shows, also video casts and podcasts and home movies taken by Mr. Henry and other members of his family. I think it sounds like it's worth it. I don't know. I've never listened to Mr. Henry's show. I say this with great love and respect. I wouldn't know Phil Henry if I tripped over him and he was splayed out on a street someplace, having lost all of his money and self-respect. I still wouldn't know who he was. Please get a subscription to his website. The world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, the greatest value online other than porn. Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is in studio.
And this is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're in studio and we're here to answer your questions, the safety questions, law enforcement questions, any question you may have for me or our other members of our Citizens Auxiliary Police Subcommander or Brigadier Admiral Corps. I must be very honest with you when I tell you that I'm the only one that's here. But I do like to make it sound as if we are here to answer your questions when, in fact, it's just me that's here to answer your question because the other subcommanders are home having dinner, probably with their wives and kids. There's only so many hours of the day that they're allowed to be subcommanders. The rest of the time, they have to do the regular jobs that they do. We've got one guy who works for a garbage can. I think that's wrong to say. We got one guy who works for the garbage pickup, right?
Louis.
Yeah, Louis. He's Subcommander Louis Bonobo, and he picks up garbage, and another guy that we know, he works sanitation too. We have a lot of guys that work sanitation, and that's fine. He does beach cleanup, right?
Yeah.
My job, I'm a security guard at the Johnson Beverage Company. Okay, I'm just laying it out there. You want to laugh about it, that's fine. But each in our own way are here to protect you, the members of the public. Let's take a phone call now. We have on the line taking your questions and comments concerning what is safe and what's safe to do and what's legal and what's illegal. in the areas of Southern California where we patrol Citizens Auxiliary Police. We've got a call here from the South Bay with Derek. Derek, go ahead.
Hi, Jay. The other day I saw you interdicting two women. You mentioned this on one of your prior shows, interdicting two women who had on thong bottom bikini, bathing bottom, bathing thong.
They were in thong bottom.
They were in thong bottom.
No, they were wearing thong bottom.
Yeah, yes, but the technical is they were wearing the bikini bottom thong bomb.
You can just say thong bomb.
Thong bomb.
Thong ball. God. Can I make thong? But this is Margaret Gray, sir. Thong bottom.
Who is this?
Margaret Gray. I'm helping Jay. He's saying thong bottom.
Thong bottom. Okay, thank you, Ms. Gray. That's the name, right?
Yes.
Okay. Jay, the other day you were talking about having two women wearing thong bottoms, telling them to put their pants back on. Did you turn their information over to the local police?
We always do, sir. We always take that information. We tell the local police. We have people over here, women generally, who have on a thong bottom, which is really just kind of like a, dental floss going right up there, and nothing you can see it all. So we tell the police that.
And what do the police generally do?
They take that information.
Well, I mean, do you know? Have they ever actually followed up on any of these reports?
I don't think. I mean, I saw one. I turned around just as I was leaving. I glanced and I saw the cop after I'd given him the written report. I saw him wadded up and toss it toward a can on a sidewalk. So
the police don't take this seriously?
I don't think they do. What are we going to do? I'm not official. We're not official police. We are law enforcement. We do have citizens arrest powers. But we have been so beaten down and beaten down and beaten down.
They make it tough for you, don't they?
They do, sir. They really do. All we want to do is save lives and enforce the law, and we have been beaten down and laughed at and had our pants pulled down, had our helmets frisbeed off, had our shirts taken off. Just last week, there were two subcommanders seen running from a parking lot where they were trying to issue citations to cars, drivers who had backed it in. And they're not allowed to. They're not first responders, so they were backing it in. And two of our subcommanders were seen running from the parking lot. They had no clothes on. They were covering up their private area with their. One of them had the pith helmet still.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. This is the kind of disrespect that we're getting. Let me tell you something. We're going to hand it back. You stick around because we're going to start laying it back on people.
Well, what do you think you're going to do?
Don't worry about it. We're going to.
I mean, I can't imagine there's no real enforcement power that you have.
Well, you know what? No one's going to take my pants off and force me to flee the scene. That much I will tell you about, okay?
All right. Well, anyway, Jay, thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome, sir. Our number here is, I don't even know what the, did we give the number out? We got a number, but I don't know what it is. I guess people know what it is because they're calling in. Here's Daisy. Daisy is in Corona Del Mar. Daisy, how are you?
Hello, Jay. It's good to speak with you. I hope you don't mind. I'm in the bathtub right now.
Not at all. If you feel like taking a tub, we all love to take a tub occasionally.
What'd you say?
I said we all like to take a tub occasionally.
Yes, and I'm just enjoying the water right now. I wanted to ask you about one of your sub-commanders trying to get a look in my shopping bag the other day. I had just come from Uber Teens, which is the department store here, near the Fashion Island in Newport Beach.
Yes.
And he was trying to get a look in to see what kind of underwear I'd purchased. And I said to him, no, you may not.
Well, that's something we do. That's a standard thing.
No, hold on. I know that you think that's... You don't look into my bag and look and see what kind of underwear I purchased. And so he did anyway, and that's when I said, would you excuse me for a moment? I went into a ladies' room that was close by, took off the underwear I was wearing, and came out and shoved it in his mouth and said, there, get a good look at that.
You did what?
You heard me. I took my underwear off, crammed it in the mouth of this sub-commander, Hepcat, is that his name?
Hepcat.
Yeah. I crammed it in his mouth, I said, there, how's that taste? And he stood there with the eyeballs bugged out of his head. I can guarantee you not one of your sub-commanders is going to pull that again.
Well, ma'am, we're not trying to...
You were asking me what underwear I had in my bag?
I'm sorry, ma'am, but that's what the Citizens Auxiliary Police do, and that's what he does.
That's what you do, and that's what you do. Hey, yeah, who's this?
I'm sorry, sir. Was I talking to your wife?
Yeah, you're talking to me now. Now, some guy wanted to take a look at my wife's underwear, and she took it off. She put it in his mouth and said, "Hey, swallow that." You got a problem with that?
I got a very big problem with that, yes, sir.
Oh, boy. What are you going to do about it?
What I'm going to do about it is probably come over there and do a three-step takedown on you, kick your ass, and kick your old lady's ass. What do you think of that?
Oh, yes.
Give me the phone back.
That's all the time we have. F that, man.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police with safety tips and stuff like that.
Thank you very much.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All right, who's in the bathtub? Is there someone there?
I'm still on the line. I don't know if anyone wants to...
The world-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated.
Make sure you get a backstage pass today.
Whee!